This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose.
You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Mike and Pete across the way, Bogish with your updates. We're going to be joined by Kevin Carter, CBS Sports Network college football analyst, is going to join us in about 20 minutes from now. And then later on this hour, Drew Pearson, former Cowboys wide receiver. Big game this weekend, Cowboys and Eagles, is going to join us coming up at 8:40 a.m. Eastern Time, 5:40 Pacific. But we kick off the third and final hour with what we do, which is the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Kevin Durant says there are challenges to finding a sidekick for LeBron.
Yeah, I mean, the challenges, he said more than that. He said criticized the media as almost being, LeBron James apologist and also infatuated with him, and said it's difficult to be a teammate for LeBron James.
Yeah.
Paraphrasing here.
Yes, well, that's more or less covers it. We were talking a good amount and gave different thoughts and opinions on it, on this topic of Kevin Durant, the star, the Warriors, talking about LeBron James. And like I said earlier, I really feel like it's the case of there's definitely envy, there's jealousy there because he's not the ultra male in the NBA of the lead, of the elite. He is second to LeBron, and I think that bothers Kevin Durant. I also think that's why he and many other players don't want to be teammates with LeBron because they want some spotlight. And for those that think there's not big egos with a lot of these guys, or those that think they shouldn't have egos, I disagree with those because you should have an ego. You should want to be the best player on the team. You should want to be the top guy on the team. But yet, I also don't think you should call the whole media fanboys of LeBron because he did do that. You shouldn't stereotype a whole medium like that. But I could see why he's thinking that. But like I said earlier, Moose, the media loves LeBron because LeBron moves the needle. I mean, he does.
Well, they do, and it generates ratings.
He does.
That's what the media is into.
You said that earlier.
Whether it be clicks on with columns, listening on the radio, watching on TV, downloads, whatever it might be. LeBron James does generate that kind of interest, love him or hate him. The respect level, people want to know what exactly LeBron James is doing next. Now, for Durant, the issue that I would have is that he ran from Oklahoma City to go to Golden State. He has been a sensitive sort, was in OKC when he didn't like the criticism he got in Oklahoma City. We know he had burner Twitter accounts to try and fend off the criticism that he was facing from fans. Cursed out a fan down in Dallas earlier in the season, had an issue with his teammate Draymond Green, where Green was then calling him out and saying that we've won before you, we don't need you. So it's gotten kind of nasty here. Now, I'm sure, if you're going to be in, and everybody thought, a lot of people that put Kevin Durant in a Laker uniform after this season, or Kawhi Leonard in a Laker uniform after this season. But as we do know, there are guys that enjoy it for what it is, but also then want to get away from it. Get away from the drama, get away from the BS, get away from the nonsense, get away where it's all about LeBron James all the time and establish themselves. We saw it with Kyrie Irving, who wanted out of Cleveland and no longer wanted to be a Cavalier and wanted to go to the Boston Celtics because he didn't sign up in Cleveland to be Robin,
second fiddle to
Robin
LeBron.
To LeBron's Batman. He wanted to be the guy. And that is exactly what he is right now with the Boston Celtics. So we've seen it before. I'm sure there's challenges to being a teammate of LeBron James. I'm sure when you're that kind of a star player. Now, for Durant, Taz, do you think he's taking on attack where, kind of the good guy, bad guy, white hat, black hat, LeBron's the good guy in the NBA, was the bad guy after he left the Cavaliers to go down to Miami. And you look at Durant this year, he's taken on the mentality of being kind of the angry superstar.
Yeah.
Cursed out a fan down in Dallas. got into it with Draymond Green in Golden State. And almost like, it's almost outward, he's showing you his emotion, but it's almost like a tactic to where, all right, well, you're going to kiss the rear end of LeBron.
Right.
All right, that's fine.
I'll be the heel. I'll be the bad guy.
I'm going to be the bad guy.
I'll be the heel.
I'll be the bad guy, and I'm going to win.
Yeah, and he does. And I, that definitely, I do think that could be exactly what you
just
said.
He's getting a lot of attention being the bad guy.
He is. And you know what? If not being the baby face, the good guy isn't going to work because that's Bron. Well, then I'll be the heel. I'll be the other guy. And I think you make a great point. And Kevin Durant, he dropped 25 points yesterday. And the Warriors won 129 to 105. They beat the Cavs, LeBron's former team. Listen, like you said earlier about Kyrie Irving going to Boston and all this stuff, Kawhi going to Toronto and stuff. I get that. I would, if I'm an NBA player, I don't want to go on a team and be subservient or looked at as a subservient player to the guy that everybody says is the greatest of all time in LeBron James. I don't. It's some say, well, that's not being competitive. Oh, that, or you're all about yourself. Yeah, that's right. I am. I would all be. That's how these guys have to be. They got to be about themselves until they get on the court. Then they work as a team. I know that sounds weird, but I get it. I understand that. And that thing about the anger with Kevin Durant and the chip on his shoulder, I think it motivates the hell out of him. And I think that's what you're kind of saying.
Well, right.
It uses that as motivation.
And it's grabbing attention. What was the last guy you saw that criticized LeBron James? Kyrie Irving, even on the way out of Cleveland, wasn't as critical of what Kevin Durant said.
Right.
Even on the way out, there were sources, there were reports, stuff was leaked to the media, but he never made the bold statements that Kevin Durant made. It's almost like he's taking a screw you mentality.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that happens sometimes. And you know, you could be looked at as, like, and you were saying it earlier, and I get it. A lot of people would get that way. You were kind of saying, if you didn't hear it, like, you could download the podcast, Taz and the Moose, at Apple Podcasts or Radio.com for free every day. But you were kind of hitting on the fact that what the hell is Kevin Durant so angry about? He's got life by the you-know-what, and he's winning. He's on a great team. He's the top guy in a great team. And that's all true. And I understand why you would ask that question, and I'm sure a lot of the question was rhetorical. And I think a lot of people would agree with your question about Kevin Durant. You know, I could only tell you, just to give you a really tiny, super quick thing, like it happened to me. I was at the top of my game in ECW, and I had a guy named Raven, another wrestler, who said to me in a locker room one day in Tampa, Florida, "Dude, you got everything. What, you're a top guy, you make great money, you got a great young family, why are you so angry all the time?" And I looked at him, and at first I was like, I don't know why I'm angry. And then I thought about it a few minutes later, and I said, I think that's what motivates me. That's what's that in my prime as a wrestler, I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I only could just relate to that as an athlete looking at Kevin Durant, that could be what motivates him, the LeBron James factor.
Well, but this has been a kind of a flip this year.
He flipped to a heel.
Yeah, kind of. He hasn't been this kind of angry. He hasn't been like this. An outward expression, but you're right.
A lot of bitterness there.
Right. I mean, you're right. I mean, it motivated you. I'm sure. Listen, I'm sure anger motivates a lot of guys. And whatever drives you. What whatever you do in life. But I think for Durant, you've seen a little bit of a flip from my perspective in how he's handled it and how outward he has been. With that kind of emotion, but he is angry, and he's letting it be known. And I don't think him joining the Lakers and LeBron James is going to be happening anytime soon.
Right. No, that's not happening, brother. I don't think that's happening.
I don't think. I think we can close that door now.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's happening. Let's take a listen to LeBron James about his comment, kind of about what KD said.
I believe that's probably not the whole quote, so I'm not going to comment on that. I would love to see the whole transcript of what was asked of him, the context it was asked of him, why it was asked, and the whole thing. So I'm not going to comment on it because I'm not knowledge. I don't know the whole thing. That would be stupid on my part. I'm a veteran.
Well, he wants a transcript. He should have sat in on the interview.
Well, not just that. I mean, the quotes are the quotes.
Yeah,
however he was asked the question,
I know.
And why the question was asked, what do you mean?
He's saying it wasn't taken. He's trying to take him out of context.
Someone was critical of me?
I know.
How dare you? dare you? I'm the king.
Yeah, that's not possible. I want to check the transcript. I want to see the what do you call the lady, the man or lady, the man or lady, the woman or man, the what?
Stenographer.
Stenographer. Thank you. Yeah, he wants the stenography
Durant
report.
Paraphrasing, just told LeBron to pound sand.
Yeah, all salt.
Next.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Number two.
Kyler Murray undecided about the NFL or MLB.
Yeah, he did a sit-down interview with Tim Tebow, and Kyler Murray left open the door as the Heisman Trophy is going to get announced this weekend here in New York City. That Kyler Murray.
You go to that, Moose? Because I know you're
a
voter.
I do not. No.
Well, wait.
No, I got my son's birthday this week.
I know you do, but yeah. I just thought, aren't you invited?
No, not every voter.
You're a writer. You're
there's
a what do you call it?
There's 900 plus voters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're a voter. You should be.
I have been invited in the past.
Sorry. Yeah. I've actually been to one.
Yeah.
I told you that.
Yes, you did. No, it's great. It's fantastic. No, I don't. No, I got my son's birthday this week. Yeah. I'll watch it on TV.
So will I.
See where my vote landed.
Well, we know who you voted for. We went over to see the day.
See where my vote landed.
We know who you voted, Moose. You kind of stooge yourself.
Hello.
Let's be honest. I didn't.
Yes, you did.
See, you think you have no idea who I voted for.
I know who you voted for.
No, you don't. You think you do, but you have no idea. Anyway.
You wouldn't vote for Kyler Murray just because I said Kyler Murray was going to win.
Taz, when we talked about it, my vote was already in.
All right. Oh, by the way, when do you have to put the vote in?
We went over this. Anyway, Kyler Murray, we went over this already.
I got to have like a memory like an elephant.
Three days ago is not that long ago.
In my world, it is.
3 days is not that long ago. We went over this.
Got a lot going on.
We went over this. Look up it on Wiki.
WikiHow.
Yeah. Look up on WikiHow.
Download the podcast.
All right. Yeah, exactly. Make sure to download that podcast.
All right.
Anyway, Kyler Murray left open the possibility of maybe him pursuing an NFL career. Wants to do all of his due diligence after the Oklahoma season does come to an end. Got to remember, 9th overall pick, last MLB draft last June. Signed a contract with the Oakland Athletics that I believe included a $4.6 million signing bonus. A lot of guys believe he's got a tremendous baseball career in front of him. And the plan that was laid out was that he was going to play 1 year of Oklahoma football and then turn his attention to playing baseball, Taz. But in an interview with Tebow, he left open the possibility of maybe, just maybe, after he gets information from the National Football League, that he might decide to pursue an NFL career.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Kyler Murray basically saying, is that he just wants to, wants to weigh his options and see what the NFL thinks of him. For those that maybe just joining us who don't realize what the deal is, Kyler Murray's 5'10", so he's not that tall of a guy, an amazing, dynamic, ultra-athletic athlete that can sling it and can run and he's got great vision on the field. He's an amazing player.
Amazing.
He really is. But to Moose's point, Moose is saying, hey, he's signed with the Oakland A's. He's got a big signing bonus over $4 million. So what I was saying earlier, and I feel the same way right now, what do you do for Kyler Murray? I mean, do you want to go play minor league ball for the Oakland A's and work your way up and go play for the Vegas 51s or the Midland Rockhounds? Triple A and Double A, respectively, for the A's, or be jettisoned in the draft to the Oakland Raiders or to the Atlanta Falcons, something like that. Because it's not a quarterback heavy draft, so there could be a lot of money sitting for the kid in the NFL. I personally think that he should do what he says he's going to do and go play with the Oakland A's system. He'll have a longer career, less chance of injuries, and make a lot of money. But again, like you said earlier, it depends on his passion, what this kid really wants. Yeah, kids change their minds.
Yeah, what does he want to do? Where's the path for him to be most successful? But ultimately, where's his joy? Where's his passion? What does he want to do? But I thought the door was closed, and Murray yesterday in an interview left the door ajar.
Number three.
Secret Santa names unveiled on IG.
Oh.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys.
Top headline.
Honestly, you guys got to be.
Who's you guys?
You and Biseglia.
Thanks.
You're right there with them. You guys are neck and neck down the stretch. Well, we've hit the eighth pole. I mean, it's amazing. You would think that doing Secret Santa is like rocket science to you two.
Well, because Mike will, he'll basically infest your mind, and you were stronger.
No, no, no. You've never
weakened my mind with
this. You have no idea how to do Secret Santa. And then the idea.
I never played this immature game. I played manly games.
It's not a game. It's not a game. Number one is, hence Secret Santa. What does secret mean?
Secret means kayfabe. You don't even know what that means. Secret means like it's a secret.
You don't tell the other person
something.
Correct.
That's important.
Right. Before you do what? Santa delivers gifts to all the kids across the world, right? On Christmas morning. So Secret Santa. You don't tell the person who you're giving a gift to.
I got it confused with a random Santa.
So we put funny. In Biseglia puts into the headlines.
You want me to go over the rules
morning.
Again?
No, we don't have to. No, we did that already. We don't have to go over any rules. People are like, you guys morons? Honestly, you're going over rules over Secret Santa? I mean, honestly, this is as simple as it gets. You pick a name. It's private. You set a monetary amount you're spending on gifts. And then the day that you open up the gifts, you go, oh, Pete, you had me. Merry Christmas, Mark.
Right.
Oh, Moose, Merry Christmas,
And Mark. For those just joining
That's
us.
That's what it is.
I gave out gifts. To the whole team.
Let me just finish what I'm saying.
Can I just say one word on the show?
No,
or do you have to talk the whole show?
We'll get to
a word.
That's not true. That's so not true. Stop. You got to listen to the podcast. Anyway, number one is the idea now of unveiling it before we hand out the gifts makes little to no sense. It's stupid. Why would you do that?
Taz told me to do it.
Honestly. What is that? Why would I go, okay, so, Mike, I got you.
I could use some new bowling shoes.
Merry Christmas. I got you. Here's a $25 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts.
I had a really hard time with this Secret Santa thing.
No.
It's a bad idea. I mean,
It's not a bad idea. It's all across the world.
Sucks.
Thank you, Bilotti. It's not a bad idea.
You go online,
just because you don't get it.
There's no just we because played,
it's not that difficult to get.
We should have played Santa's Casino. That right up your alley.
Santa's Casino? What the hell are you talking about?
Players bring money.
Oh, stop.
As well as gifts.
Maybe I've a $10 already won gift a bet with you. I'm going to Bilotti's wedding. I got a grand coming my way.
I can't get a word. I got a grand coming my way. I can't even get a word. It's going to let me talk. You play Santa's Casino.
I get it for next year.
No, next year, know what we need to do? Be a man like I was a man. Dip into your wallet, cheap asses, and buy gifts for the people you work with like I did with those beautiful, beautiful thermoses.
Tumblers.
Yeah.
Right. Men. So before we did Secret Santa, Taz, and thank you to Taz's wife as well, Mrs. Taz.
Well, you probably just should thank gifts. Her, actually.
Gave us all gifts. Thank you, Mrs. Taz. Yeah, thank you. Gave us all mugs. Keep
they're
our
not
drinks
mugs.
Cold.
They're not mugs. Don't say that. That's not. They're
what
not
they,
mugs.
What are
You're
they?
Being a smartass. They're
not being
mugs.
A smartass.
They're thermoses.
Oh, okay.
They have caps
really.
That lock. They keep. Sir.
It's
sir,
not. A, I think sir. Of a thermos. I'm going to put soup in.
Excuse me, sir.
It's not a thermos.
I'm trying different ways to get a word in. Excuse me, sir. Thank you. Here's the thing. Can you take a mug and put ice cold beverage in it, and will it stay in that mug? Cold for 27 hours.
No, it will not.
Thermos that I gave you,
yes, sir.
That will do that for you.
Yes. Thank you.
And we'll keep your drink hot for up to 4 days.
Thank you.
Want more coffee.
Thank you for the gift, Mrs. Taz.
You're
going to
love it.
That.
And you're welcome.
Thank you. We know it was all you.
You're all cheap people.
Hello.
So, yes. We'll unveil our Secret Santa gifts after the new year.
$25.
That's the next time we'll all be together.
25. Yeah. 25 hammers I got to go for
We will not
now.
Be doing a show together for the next 3 weeks.
Mm. What size shoes you wear, Moose?
I wear a 13. We've been down this road.
I'm asking you for a reason. Maybe I picked you.
Maybe you did.
And I'm going to get you a pair of flip-flops.
No, look forward to that.
That sounds like a great gift.
That does sound like
I
a
know,
nice
that
gift.
That does sound good, right? Yes. Leather flip-flops from Hawaii?
It would be great. Nice.
We got to go to break, Moose.
I understand we have to go to break. Kevin Carter. We're going to talk a little college football. CBS Sports comes your way next. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS's Super Bowl season continues Sunday with exciting regional action. Playoff and wild card position is up for grabs in critical AFC matchups when Baltimore battles Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Andrew Luck leads Indy into Houston to take on the Texans, and the Phillip Rivers-led Chargers host the Cincinnati Bengals. Check your local listings and kick off your day with the NFL today, only on CBS. Kevin Carter is going to join us here momentarily. AB is in the house. Good morning, Andrew.
AB,
microphone on.
Put your mic on. AB, what size shirt are you?
I am a large. Thank you for asking.
You are a liar. You're a kid's large.
No, I'm ill-shaped. I'm a large.
All right, well, because I might have gotten you as my Secret Santa.
Yo, really? Okay. Yeah. Putting two and two together.
All right.
Okay, so a huge fourth quarter from LeBron James got his Lakers their fourth straight win, 121-113 over the Spurs. Someone dared ask Greg Popovich why LeBron is so tough to stop.
He's LeBron James. That's what makes him difficult to guard. Anybody else?
And then Pop went back
to the locker
room.
When he heard that, he was like, oh, stop it already!
Sick of him. LeBron scoring 20 of his 42 in the fourth quarter. Paul George scored 25 of his 47 in the fourth in Brooklyn. The Thunder went from a 23-point hole to a 114-112 win. The Nets have dropped 8 in a row. The Raptors beat the Sixers 113-102. The Clippers losing in Memphis 96-86. The Bucks beat the Pistons 115-92. The Pelicans 132. The Mavs 106 with Anthony Davis and Julius Randle each scoring 27. And Steph Curry led the Warriors to a win in Cleveland.
Curry off a screen. Double clutches. Fires for three. Curry. Well, Sexton went to reach on that play. And you know that old saying, if you reach, I teach. And that's exactly what Curry did right there.
You know that old saying.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I don't. Tim Roy on Warriors Radio.
Oh, Tim.
You reach, I
Hello.
Teach.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
That, yep.
Curry had 42 in the 129-105 win in Cleveland. Top-ranked Gonzaga sidestepped Washington 81-79 with Rui Hachimura nailing a foul line jumper with less than a second to go. Number 3 Duke beat Hartford 84-54, and number 15 Virginia Tech handled VMI 89-68. Chicago Bears QB Mitchell Trubisky expects to play Sunday night against the Rams. He's missed their last two games with a shoulder injury. First, lefty Patrick Corbin signed with the Nationals. Now the Diamondbacks have traded Paul Goldschmidt to the Cardinals. GM Mike Hazen says the All-Star first baseman took the news like a pro.
It was the same that you always get out of Paul. He was very professional and respectful. I think probably disappointed, as much as he loves Arizona.
Goldschmidt has been an all-star the last six summers. Arizona gets back righty Luke Weaver, catcher Carson Kelly, and infielder Andrew Young. And USA Gymnastics yesterday filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The organization says this will help address the numerous lawsuits it's facing for the Larry Nassar sexual assault scandal. Guys.
Well, there you go. Appreciate it. Thanks,
you, bro.
Andrew. And have yourself a lovely morning.
Yes.
It was nice seeing you guys.
Great seeing you. And you're welcome again for the gift I gave you.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
You can say Merry Christmas
Happy
to
New
me.
Year.
That's fine. No...
See you guys when I see you.
All right. Well, I'll see you soon.
I'll see you tomorrow, right?
Oh, but never together. This beautiful side-by-side image is done.
No, Andrew's going to be doing a show with me tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. You guys will do a great show.
Yes.
I'm sure you guys have hot takes all over the place.
Burning hot.
Yes.
Sure.
No doubt.
I'm Andrew Bogish. And picks.
And we got picks tomorrow, too.
Picks. Oh, tomorrow's Friday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday.
My picks will be in. I'll do my picks.
Thank you for your picks, Tez. And the Tumblr.
The one day. Picks will be in. People don't understand what the whole exuberance is about. They don't understand this.
Well,
one week I forgot to send them in while I was off. I took a rare day off.
You were reminded. You decided not to do it.
Oh, I was busy.
You decided not to do it.
It's called a day off for a reason,
you
my friend.
You decided not to do it. You made the decision not to do it. Let's welcome aboard Kevin Carter right now. Yeah. Covers college football for CBS Sports. hey, Kevin, Taz of the Moose with you, man. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, Kev?
Good morning. Morning.
Hey, it's a good thing you called because we were about to get into a big argument, bro.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, so you're exactly
right. The timing's perfect.
No question. Kevin, we were talking about Jim Harbaugh earlier, and you know some reports out there that the Browns and Packers might be interested in talking to him and jumping and going back to the National Football League. How committed? I'll ask you this way: how committed do you think Harbaugh is to staying at Michigan long term?
You know, that's a really, really, really good question. I think everyone is asking that. I think a lot of people are curious because there are a number of coaches in college football that are kind of entertaining that allure, and that we're having speculations that might be going. Jim Harbaugh obviously is a natural fit to go back. I really don't know how much personal interest he has. I haven't heard any grumblings, but you know, if there's unfinished business in college, I don't know how apt he's going to be to go. You know, it's one of those things. He got close. He got really close when he, in college football, but he really never won the big one. Had some great programs, but I don't know if having that unfinished business will, you know, hinder him from going back or staying.
But Kevin, and we were talking about this earlier. I mean, and speaking on Harbaugh again, like, don't, I mean, just want to get your opinion. You know, like, don't you think that it would be a situation where, because, you know, they go to Columbus, they go to the Horseshoe, they play the Buckeyes throttle them, knock them out of everything, out of the top four, knock them out of the Big Ten title, knock them out of everything. Don't you think now, especially Urban Meyer being gone, and Urban Meyer had the secret sauce to beating the Wolverines, right? And the thing is, now Harbaugh might be thinking, as an alum and as a proud Michigan guy, might be thinking, I can't go out like that where we got smoked by our arch nemesis.
Yeah, personally, I could not leave that situation if I were him, because I, you know, there has to be a reason you came to college in the first place, and there may be things that you want to do from a goal perspective. We don't know what's in Jim. I mean, we don't know what's in his head as far as what he's thinking. But if it were me, I would definitely not be going anywhere anytime soon, especially now that Irving's gone.
Yeah, no doubt.
We're talking to Kevin Carter, CBS Sports college football analyst. Kevin, the Heisman gets announced this weekend. Who do you think the best player in America was this year?
Oh, man. There were so many great performances. You know, as much as I don't like, I'm not a personal fan of the Buckeyes as a team, Dwayne Haskins played his tail off. I mean, he to me, you know, in the midst of a lot of controversy, frankly, and things that were swirling around, and you know, and the inconsistent play of their defense, I think that needs to be mentioned as well. You know, he's the one that really brought the rest of those, all those weapons together. You know, in the run game, in the passing game, he's the one that facilitated all those throws, and how he was using Paris Campbell and J.K. Dobbins and all those guys, you know, within the offense. To me, you know, he had, talk about throttling Michigan. I mean, he, to me, he's had some superhuman, you know, performances. I mean, when they go out against Maryland and Anthony McFarland, you know, goes for 298 against them on their defense, Dwayne Haskins is the reason they won that game. The reason it was a barn burner is because of him. So got to give a shout out to him. Kyler Murray has taken Lincoln Riley's offense in Oklahoma to a whole new level, which is why they're in the college football playoff. I think you have to mention that. You know, Baker Mayfield did something similar. He was in New York, you know, after doing this in Lincoln Riley's offense. Of course, Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, you know, that's there aren't words for what he has done in Alabama football and how he has stretched and you know, change the trajectory of what the Alabama program and what we think of Alabama football. So I think you've got at least three or, you know, if not four good finalists in college football this year.
So, Kev, let me ask you, man, you know, Oklahoma, Alabama, love to get your insight, thoughts on how the Sooners match up against Alabama.
The Sooners match up from an offensive perspective, you know, it's exciting because two of the people that I just mentioned, right? Two of the three people that I just mentioned, that's, you're talking about the number one and number two offense in the country.
No doubt.
So I think everyone wants to see that, but I think everyone wants to know whose defense is going to show up. We know that Alabama's defense will show up, but Oklahoma, you know, they were a top 10 team that had 111th ranked defense, and that just doesn't add up. So, in my thoughts, I'm thinking that Bama is just going to shred that defense. I don't even know. I mean, they don't need to throw a pass. because it's just going to be an issue for their defense.
Well, Kevin, how about the other national semifinal when you look at Clemson and Notre Dame?
That, to me, is a really intriguing matchup. Clemson sometimes plays to its competition. You know, they don't always show as magnificent as they are. I think Clemson is wonderfully built. They've got so much strength up front and depth, especially defensively. I mean, if you look at their defensive line: Dexter Lawrence, Christian Wilkins, Cleveland Farrell. You know, there's about seven or eight guys up front that they have that they roll in and out of the games, and you know, having that type of structure of just strength to be able to combat and put so much pressure on an opposing team. I mean, you know, your front seven, obviously, but Trevor Lawrence, you know, Dabo knew he needed someone, a dynamic player, a ball that, you know, screamed off of his hand. As excited as I am to watch Tua Tagovailoa throw the football and how he accentuates their offense, I love to watch Trevor Lawrence throw the football. It's a thing of beauty. There are some people that, you know, they when they hit the ball, they're naturals and the ball but just flies off of their bat. Or there's somebody that when they shoot the ball, you know, it's like they look effortlessly. You know, those are two of those people. But to me, Trevor Lawrence throws the prettiest ball, you know, in football. To me, they're the team to beat. You know, it's like a foregone conclusion. You talk about Notre Dame and you like that matchup, and Ian Book brings, you know, the Golden Domers to a whole new level. And, you know, it's all great and everything, but the matchup is really Clemson, Alabama.
Hey, so, Kevin, I'll tell you, it's funny hearing you, like, and I agree with you saying about Trevor Lawrence, where his release on a ball and how he throws the ball and how you marvel how great of a quarterback is, when the bulk of your career you spent destroying quarterbacks. So to me, it's funny hearing you say that. It's like, I'm shocked to hear that. Like, it's impressive. he reaps some havoc on dudes, dude.
Well, both guys can change the game, though. I mean, because,
yeah, you know, I know. Yeah.
You get within a step of Dan Marino, and look, when I've been within a step of Dan Marino, saw him look at me and then look down the field and the flick of his wrist, and, you know,
it was gone. The ball was gone,
yeah,
that
it was
quick.
Gone. Like,
wow,
I mean, and I knew if I leaded to hit this guy, I'm going to get 15 yards, even 30, even 25 years ago.
Imagine today, wouldn't be allowed to touch him.
Yeah,
exactly. So.
Hey, what about sorry, Muscat.
No, no, go ahead.
I just was curious on under radar bowl game that you were most interested in watching.
You know what? That's the one thing that is somewhat hard. Just because I think there's no such thing as too many bowls. I'll definitely say that. I think some of the matchups are kind of askew. That's one of the things that I think, as we as college football fans, we kind of get into where we really want to see, you know, the best matchups. To me, you know, I guess it's not under the radar, but I'm looking forward to, you know, Florida, Michigan, obviously. I look forward to that matchup, just seeing if maybe, you know, we can get a little revenge on the last time we played them, because last time we played them, you know, they smoked us. Mm. So that's definitely going to be an issue. I think who's playing? Lafayette's playing in the Cure Bowl.
Yeah,
so, that's going to be a good game. I think Lafayette's offense is wide open. You know, there's some good matchups. I'm not really a bowl matchup connoisseur.
Right.
I watch every one of them.
Well, there you go. You're into it. You know, Kevin, close out here. You mentioned Florida. You think they've got the right coach in place in Mullen?
You know, I had a conversation with Dan Mullen over the summer, and I actually spent some time there. And he told me, he says, immediately we will look better. He says, this season will be better. He says, but it won't really be better. And he says, Kevin, you know, you'll know the difference. We're 3 years away from where we really need to be. and I got it. And you know they won nine games, and they had a great year, and you know they're back in a New Year's Six, and everybody's happy, and they're like, wow, you know, number 10 in the country, you know, didn't think we'd, you know, and he's exactly right, because the way they put it together this year was ugly at times.
Yeah.
It was ugly, but he knew that there were immediate areas on the team that he could turn around. You know, the defense being one of them. Todd Grantham, the defense coordinator, mobilized the talent they had, you know, and before, you know, the defense coordinator who was there before did a good job. Randy Shannon did a good job, you know, with that defense. Defense hasn't been the problem. They've had a top, you know, whatever defense, even though their offense has just been horrible. But getting them back on track immediately, empowering them, that was key. You know, he also knew the running game has to empower the talent, you know, talented backs in the backfield. You know, offensive line's kind of been a joke, kind of been banged up here and there. He brings in his offensive line guy, you know, John Hevesy, you know, got them going. He's mobilized them. The only area that, you know, that's the hardest position to bring around, it's the hardest position on the field, and that's the quarterback. That's an area that is going to have to take some time as far as the development of whoever he's going to have back there. But you can't really knock his progress with a quarterback, especially in modern college football and the spread and using all the weapons. When you look at his track record with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow and Dak Prescott and Fitzgerald, and you know, and what he was able to do with Felipe Franks this year, to me, was really impressive. You know, there was 23 touchdowns and you know, 6 interceptions. I mean, you know, Felipe Franks never looked so good.
No, he didn't, and it'll be interesting if he can get that program back where it used to be. Hey, Kevin, we certainly appreciate the time this morning, all right? Happy holidays and continued success.
Happy holidays, guys. Yes, sir. Thanks, Kev. Appreciate it.
Enjoy all the bowls coming your way. We're going to talk a little Cowboy football. Drew Pearson, legendary Cowboys receiver, is going to join us next. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It is Taz and the Moose right now with you on this Thursday morning. We go from Kevin Carter to Drew Pearson, legendary Cowboys wide receiver. Big game this weekend, Dallas and Philadelphia. Hey, Drew, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
You got it, guys. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. It'll be a good one this weekend. Cowboys-Eagles, Drew.
Yeah, it should be. This is what we want, you know, an opportunity to jump out a couple games ahead of the Eagles. So we got them in our place, so let's see what we can do with them.
Sounds good. Drew, so what's the deal, man? So Jason Garrett has kind of turned this locker room around. How'd he do it? What do you think? What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I think it's not just Jason Garrett. I think it's the players taking the attitude that it's us against the world type of position. And, you know, we've been beating on Jason Garrett and some of the players and some of the things when they were 3-5.
Right.
You know, we're trying to run Garrett out of here and coordinators out of here, and players need to be replaced, and we're dealing with injuries. So there was a lot of negative talk, but, you know, the players played through all that. They worked through all that. The coaches played through that. They worked through all that. And now, you know, they're riding a 4-game winning streak and on top of the NFC East, and no one should get any credit for that except those people in that building. The people that got criticized for when they were 3-5, they should get all the credit for turning this thing around, for sure.
Yeah, Drew, how good is that defense right now?
Yeah, really good, and getting better because we got Sean Lee healthy. And, you know, we take what we can get with Sean Lee when he is healthy, and he just makes our defense even that much better. But when you're averaging – your defense is giving up on the average of 18 points a game, you're going to be in every game. You know, our offense is not that prolific as far as scoring, but, you know, we don't need to get that many points. We don't need to get 30, 40 points to win a football game. We just get in the 20s, 20 to 25 points a game, we'll be okay with that defense the way they're playing right now.
Hey, Drew, so let me ask you, if anything, just I'm curious, what did you learn about this Cowboys squad in that win against the Saints?
that they can beat anybody.
Right, right.
And,
I agree.
You know, they and the reason is because they got the defense to do that.
Right.
You know, back in the day, we were scoring 28, 30 points a game. But you know why we were doing that? Because our defense, the Doom Bay defense.
Well, you guys had Too Tall Jones, Randy White, Harvey Martin. Those guys were animals, man.
Oh, absolutely. And they were giving us field position. So most of the time we trotted out on the field with the offense, you know, we had short fields to go, 50 yards or less in a lot of cases. So if the defense can continue to do that for our offense, there's no question that, you know, this this ride we're on, and especially into next weekend, can continue.
You know, Drew, what has Amari Cooper meant to that offense?
Man, big deal. I didn't think he'd mean that much. As a matter of fact, I said, I wish they went and got Golden Tate instead of Amari Cooper. Do I know. But Amari Cooper, I just didn't know much about him. I didn't know he was that effective or that precise of a pass route runner. He runs beautiful pass routes, and his presence there should help the other receivers learn how to run pass routes and create that separation to get back that target to throw to. But just his presence out there, when he breaks the huddle and lines up, it takes a man out of the box. And now we got our running game going, the play action passes going, and then we can throw the football downfield, because a lot of times we're getting the right kind of coverages because of Amari Cooper out there. So it was an expensive price to pay, but one the Cowboys, I think, needed to pay. But this guy, what, he's only 24 years old, been in the league for 3 or 4 years, and about 4 years now, and has a 2,000-yard season. So we're blessed to have him, and he certainly has made a difference.
Hey, Drew, it's pretty well documented how proud you are to be a Cowboy player, former alumni of the Dallas Cowboys, and I respect that. I think that's cool that you let the world know that. I was a Cowboy fan as a kid, and I saw you play a whole bunch, you know, amazing player. Uh-huh. What does Cowboys-Eagles mean to you?
Oh, rivalry, man.
Big time, right?
Yeah, big time. Anything on the East Coast back in the day, New York, Philly, Redskins, and even the St. Louis Cardinals when they were in our division, they were always knockdown, drag-out football games. Where it got good, and the rivalry got good with the Eagles when Dick Vermeil showed up. Mm. And he took basically the same guys that Marion Campbell and Rich Kotai had. Those guys were never going to beat Tom Landry, okay? They were never going to beat us. But now they get Dick Vermeil, and he changes the whole culture of the organization, and they become competitive, and now they're competing for division titles. So the rivalry became even greater, and they even beat us in a 1980 championship game up there in Philadelphia. Willie Montgomery ran all over us, so that even added more fuel to the rivalry. So it's the competitive nature of going for the division title. And now that the Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champs, hey, we want to knock them off. We want to knock them out of the picture altogether for this season, no question about that. And if you guys can tell, I'm getting a little fired up.
Yeah, buddy.
And my voice reflection.
Well, the question
is, it is Cowboy Eagle week right here in the North Texas area. Well, we're fired up for sure.
We got about 20 seconds here, Drew. You think they win on Sunday?
Yeah, Cowboys will win this. We'll get this one 27-24. It'll be a good game. We'll win in another last drive by Dak Prescott. Pull the victory out, and Mayer will kick the game-winning field.
There you go,
you heard
man.
It first right here.
Well,
right?
Drew, we love chatting with you. We love watching you as a player, and enjoy the game this weekend, all right?
All right, Kaz, Moose, thanks for having me.
Take care, sir. Thank you.
Drew Pearson, right there. Legendary Cowboys wideout. Puts a bow on it. Thank you again for the gift.
Oh, you're welcome.
And happy holidays.
Yes. Merry
Christmas.
I'm
sure we'll chat.
Yeah, well, I'll see you next year, buddy.
Yes. I'll see you in 2019.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
We out. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.